Welcome back to Mayanaeum, the place where the two camps meet, where the hosts of heaven that heed the voice of the Almighty come and interact with physical man on this earth and aid us in our race of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The scripture says that God has made man's soul the tabernacle or the temple of his dwelling place, the temple of his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And 17, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So if you have received the life-changing blood of Jesus Christ in your heart, and you've been made a new creation and a new creature in God, then the tabernacle of God comes and dwells in us. But what is that? What goes in the tabernacle? It's the glory, it's the Shekinah, the presence, the glory of God. This is the same glory that dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, where fire and clouds descended upon it, and the same glory that sent forth the blessing of the Israelites in the wilderness, to where not even their shoes wore out on them, and they didn't hunger because it rained the manna down in the desert and they ate. Why? Because the presence of the Almighty God Himself was with them. But in the New Testament, after Jesus came and died and rose again, this same presence dwells in those who have received Him in our heart. The same presence that radiates the blessing and the abundance and the joy and the hope of the Almighty God dwells, comes out from the midst of our soul. But in the Old Testament, the sons of Aaron, who were Levites, were commanded to keep that tabernacle in good order. There was a 7-branch lampstand in the holy place called the menorah, and the priests had to keep oil in those lamps at all times, and they could never go out. And they had to keep fresh bread on the table of showbread, and incense on the altar, the golden altar, which is before the throne, right in front of the Holy of Holy Places, as well as all the rest of the tabernacle and the courtyard of the tabernacle, which was outside of it, had to be kept in good order by the particular people that God had appointed to upkeep it, which was a section of the Levites, which was the sons of Aaron. So while this was kept up, God dwelt and was pleased to dwell in the midst of His people in this place, which was this tabernacle, the Holy of Holy Place and the holy place that was outside of it. But now God has made our spirit the tabernacle of the Most High, and God is pleased to dwell in us for all of us who have received Him and let Him come and dwell in us. But we also have to upkeep this tabernacle. We also must see to it daily, just like the priests in the Old Testament had to see to it daily to make sure that the lamps were always burning. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, when He says that the 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. The wise kept oil in their lamps. What is that? It's a picture of the menorah that was burning in the holy place of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But now it's in our hearts. But we have to not let it go out. And if we do let it go out, then when He comes in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the foolish are left back and they're not able to get in. The oil must always be burning. But not only that, but the altar of sacrifice, the wash basin, that the Israelites had to set up, that is in our hearts. The spiritual reality of that is actually in our hearts. For all of those who have received Christ in their heart, it's in there now, and it must be upheld, and it must be kept up. Again, verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Why? Because even if the high priest, who was to enter the Holy of Holies just once a year, and just right with proper preparation, even if he did it wrong, he would die. And this is the high priest. This is the one appointed to go into it. Why? Because God is holy. That's why Uzzah, when Uzzah reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant, to keep it from stumbling to the ground, he died. God struck him there and he died. Not because he was doing a wrong thing or something that was wrong-hearted, but because God is holy, and anything that comes to God must be holy, which is why Jesus says he's the only way to heaven, because Jesus is the only way to make us holy. To receive Jesus in your heart is the only way to make you holy, so that when you see God, you won't be destroyed. And that's why people are cast into the place prepared for the devil and his angels, which is hell and its eternal fire. Because once you encounter the holiness of God, just like Uzzah physically died, so your soul spiritually dies forever, because God is holy. The only way to be holy is for God himself to come and live in you. And that's why every individual must cry out to God and say, God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. I receive Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, to come and live within me, make me a new person and a new creation. And if you do that, God will transform you, change you into a new person who is a son of God, according to John chapter 1. But now that the Holy Spirit lives in us, we now have the blessing and the blessings that come with it. The blessings that, even when the Ark of the Covenant was sent to the enemies of Israel and to the Philistines, when they captured it, what happened? There was no Israelites there. It was just the Ark of the Covenant itself. But the glory that emanated from the Ark, which cast Dagon down to the ground and broke him before this Ark of the Covenant that was sitting there, and this same Ark of the Covenant that sent the curse upon Israel's enemies, that same Ark is the same ark, so to speak, or the same presence that's in us. So we keep it every single day. We receive the blessing, but we also receive the responsibility to upkeep it. So if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, starting at verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. Why? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Forgiveness for your sins was not free. It cost the death of God. It cost him everything. So that forgiveness, he has bought us with a price and drawn us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And now we have the power of God living in us and the blessing of God emanating from us, but we have to use it properly. We have the blessing, we have the tabernacle, we have the Holy of Holy Place with the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God resides, but remember, as long as the tabernacle was upkept properly, this blessing continues to flow out, and the glory of God continues to dwell there. So, how do we, in the New Testament, upkeep this tabernacle as it should be? I'm going to go and read Malachi chapter 1. And this is exactly what he's talking about, even though this is Old Testament before Jesus came. About 400 years or so before Jesus came is when this is written. But this is a direct illustration of what it's like and what God desires for his people to honor the God who dwells in them. Remember, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13, not just 2,000 years ago. Physically 2,000 years ago, that's true. But it was actually done from before time. The grace that was given us before time began, the scripture says. So I'm going to read from Malachi. I'm just going to start at chapter 2. And this is what God says to his people. And now, O priests, okay, that would be a certain group of people back then, but now it's those who serve God in spirit and in truth now. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. That would be you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, as soon as you enter into the holy place where the blessing is, you also have the responsibility to upkeep it. Now, the blessing of God is sacred and it is holy. Notice, if Jesus would have sinned on this earth, it would have completely destroyed the purpose of everything created from the foundation of the world. He couldn't sin. Now, when we sin and we cry out for forgiveness, God forgives us and restores us and sets our feet back upon a rock and sends us back on our way on this race of faith. But Jesus, who had the inmost working of the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, he was also responsible for keeping what was given to him. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much is given, much will be required. So to the portion you've been given, we uphold that, but we also have the blessing that came from it. Again, after Uzzah died, David put the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obed-Edom, just this guy living in the countryside, because David was scared of it and he didn't want to die too. But what happened to the house of Obed-Edom? When the Ark of the Covenant was there, his whole family was greatly blessed just by the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of God. And then David realizes it and he's like, hey, why is Obed-Edom getting blessed when we should be getting blessed? So the Ark of the Covenant is the blessing. It's the blessing of the Most High. So then what David figures out is we're going to go and we're going to do it properly. We're going to carry it properly into Jerusalem. And we're going to celebrate properly. And we're going to treat him properly. So now while we treat him properly, the blessing of God will be abundant upon us. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly the message that I'm giving right now. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Most High God, is the blessing. You need the blessing to give not only you life, but everyone around you life, because it spills out around you. That's why David said that there's a table prepared in the midst of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. He didn't say his cup just is filled up. His cup overflows. So where does it overflow to? On the table and off the table and everywhere around him. You need the Ark of the Covenant. You need the presence of God. But you have to honor God and revere God in order to host and maintain the God of the universe on him. So why does God do this? Why is God cursing their blessings? For correction, so that they can take the Ark of the Covenant back, like David did, and start receiving the blessings. In other words, I'm not just going to cast it away from you, I'm going to correct you, and after you've been corrected in your ways, now I'm going to pour out my blessing upon you. Verse 7, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, what is the blessing of the Lord? Now, by the way, what are some of the ways that we actually keep? Obviously, we don't have a lampstand that we put oil in and let it burn and so forth like it used to be. But notice some of the things that is mentioned here in Malachi, that God is displeased if we don't handle them properly, but pleased and blesses us if we do. Verse 14, watch what it says. Yet you say, for what reason? Okay, like, for what reason are you mad at us? For what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. And so, he's talking about physical marriage here. How you treat your spouse isn't just having to do with you and her or you or him. How you treat your spouse, and again, it goes both ways. The wife to the husband needs to treat him that way, and the husband to the wife needs to treat her that way. But when you treat her that way, you're actually upholding God's holy institution, which he loves. The scripture says that it's his holy institution, which he loves. So, your tabernacle is being upkept partly by how you interact with your spouse. And of course, it also has to do with how you interact with everyone else, and how you pray to God, and how you keep your heart pure, and how you choose to demonstrate and let God come out of your heart to everyone else around you, and so many other ways. But this is an example of what it actually is. In other words, offerings. Take offerings. Just like marriage is actually a holy sacrament to God himself, not just so that you can be happy at home or whatever. You're actually holding what God gave you. You're using what God gave you, hopefully properly. Because if you don't do it properly, then you're defiling the tabernacle. And if you defile the tabernacle, you hinder the presence of God in it. That's why Peter says that if you in 1 Peter chapter 3, that if you mistreat your wife, your prayers will be hindered. Your prayers will be hindered. So what happens? If you mistreat your wife, what happens? The tabernacle is defiled, and once the tabernacle is defiled, the presence of God not only is hindered, but the blessing turns into a curse. So do it for your sake. Honor God for your sake and for God's sake, so that you and God can work together. Again, that's what Mayanaim is. Mayanaim is the place of the two camps where heaven meets with man. Heaven is one camp, man is the other camp. So what is the blessing? What is the blessing when you do it? When you give offerings, an offering, do you give it because someone needs it? Do you give it to your favorite ministry? Do you give it because he's your pastor? Why do you give an offering? No, an offering is supernatural. An offering is holy and sacred. God receives your offering. And if you give offerings for the wrong reason, or out of begrudgingly, and not because the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, it's like offering a pure sacrifice on the altar, a lamb without blemish, or offering a defiled sacrifice on the altar, a lamb with a blemish, which the Old Testament clearly says is strictly prohibited. It's better not to make any sacrifice at all if the sacrifice is blemished. The sacrifice must be perfect and holy. But if you do offer a perfect sacrifice, the abundance, the blessing is not without abundance. It's not just a little blessing. It's an enormous blessing. Malachi chapter 3, the very next chapter. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the... So here it is again. Why are they cursed? They're cursed because they mishandled what God gave them. Again, this isn't just about an offering giving to a church or whatever. The offering is sacred and holy, and God himself receives it. So it must be given properly. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So offering up an offering in righteousness properly on the altar, again, with the tabernacle, like in the wilderness, which is now in your heart, the Bible says you are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Lord follows it. And the Bible says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So, what you do for God, God will do back for you, but good measure pressed down and running over will be placed into your bosom, Jesus says. But you have to do it properly and righteously before God. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As soon as you step in to the glory, the Shekinah glory of God, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather scatters abroad. He who is not with me is against me. There is no middle ground. There's no, I'm not in this, and I'm not also not out of it. I'm just going to do my own thing. There is none of that. As soon as you enter into the presence of the Almighty God, you're either with him or you're against him. If you're not with him, you are against him. So there's either a blessing and a curse. And that's why it's so important and yet so beneficial to uphold this tabernacle and to treat God properly and righteously as he is. With what he's given to you and what he's entrusted with you, hold it properly and hold it with reverence, that the blessing of God will come upon you. But it's not just for you, it's for everyone else. Because when everyone else sees what God's done for you, like when everyone saw that Abraham was more rich than the kings around him, and the kings came out and made treaties with him, so people will see that the God that you serve is the God that they should serve. Whatever it is that you have, that's what they need. The blessing of God is a witness to the world that God is El Shaddai, and he is the one and only true God, the God who loves us and the God that does not change. So this is the blessing of Mayanaim. This is the blessing where the two camps meet, when the two camps meet. How do you get the two camps to meet? Step one, get the two camps to meet. How do you do it? Say, God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to this earth to die for my sins. Come in and live in my heart. Forgive me, wash me by your blood, and let your tabernacle abide in me right now. And thank you, Lord, for your love that you've poured out upon me. As soon as you've done that and you receive it in your heart, the glory of God will begin to emanate out. And now you are the priest. The Bible calls us kings and priests unto our God. So now you take that and let this glory, this tangible glory, exactly like was in the wilderness in the Old Testament, and let it emanate out from you into all the world. And let the world see that God has placed a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And while your enemies watch, your head is anointed with oil, and your cup overflows. And the blessing of God will follow you all the days of your life, and you will abide in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I send forth the blessing of heaven upon all who watched this and heard of your blessing and your presence. Go forth in their hearts, Lord, and illuminate and bless and prosper all the works of their hands through Jesus Christ in their heart. Knock on their heart, God, that they may open it and let you in. In Jesus' name.